This is an Enterprise Times podcast. I'm here with Jeremy Roche, Chief Product Officer of Unit 4. Jeremy, hello.
Hi, Steve.
You've been in your position, Chief Product Officer, for 18 months now. We've heard on stage today about focus and simplification, but how has the company changed in that 18 months, and how are you looking to change going forward?
The key thing is that we selected products and markets that we want to focus on. And we've coalesced the business around that. We introduced the concept of centers of excellence. So for each of our four global verticals, so that's not-for-profit, public sector, higher education and professional services, we have a center of excellence in place. And then for our horizontal products, which serve those vertical markets, as well as having a market motion in their own right, that's Unit 4 Business World, Unit 4 Provero for corporate performance management, and Unit 4 Financials, they each have a center of excellence as well. We've invested in core teams that operate on a global basis, and we've become what we call center of excellence driven. So the role of the center of excellence is to listen to the market, to the analysts, to our customers, to forecast what's going to happen and to work on where we should place our investment, to translate that into terms that we can go and build products and services that support that vision, and then to help us get that message back out to the market again. Rather than having teams in multiple places, we've simplified in the number of the products and verticals that we're really focused on a global basis, and then built the teams to support that.
You've named the products and the four verticals you've got in, but you've also got some solutions in, for example, property management, which doesn't quite fit in there. Why those four vertical products, and what's happening to those other products that Unit 4 has acquired over the last few years?
First thing is, I say global verticals because we have verticals in our local countries as well. And we also have our Unit 4 domestic business, which is the Dutch-focused business, which I don't look after the product strategy for that business. We selected those verticals because they're ones that we believed we were both strong in. We had a great customer base in. There was opportunity for us to expand in those markets. And it's ones that we believed we could replicate in multiple different geographies. That doesn't mean that we're not still investing in products that support local verticals. Construction and property management, they are adjacent. Their biggest market is in the Nordics. We continue to build products for those, but it takes an investment to take a product that you have for local markets and then say, well, we're going to roll it out to multiple countries. And it's not just about the product itself, but it's about our capability. If we decide to take a product that's local to a global level, we have to be able to put in place teams that understand that product on a global basis and what customers need. We'll need field teams, that's services, support, customer engagement teams for the vertical that's based around those products. We may take some of those products and grow the number of verticals we're servicing, but we selected the four verticals because we had an international customer base and an international offering that we felt able to excel in.
I know you've got some education customers in the US, but are you moving PSA over to the US and Provero over to the US strongly as well?
If you look at North America, it's been driven by student management and education customers, by PSA, by professional services organizations. That's both through Business World, and now we've introduced the PSA suite offering, which is the product that's built on Dynamics platform. Also Provero. The other market that I think is becoming a great opportunity for us in the US particularly is not-for-profit.
This convention, you're announcing that Provero is launching on Azure. I think the announcement's coming out tomorrow. How is the partnership with Microsoft developing, and what more can we expect?
Let's start with Provero. There are two things, in fact. So I'll start with the non-Azure thing, just so I remember to get it in because you sparked it. One of the things we're announcing with Unit 4 Provero is its own verticalization. We're announcing what we call value accelerators for Provero. FaceTales now might have answered the next question for you already, but what we're doing is we are injecting vertical knowledge, key performance indicators, general reports for the specific verticals in higher education, not-for-profit, public sector, and professional services. At the same time as doing that, yes, we've launched Unit 4 Provero on Azure. Historically, we ran that in non-Azure clouds, and that was primarily because Unit 4 Provero technically is an in-memory product, and there wasn't an Azure SKU which suited it. And Microsoft changed that. To be in line with our Azure strategy, we've now launched Provero on an Azure platform. Our Microsoft relationship is both strong and getting stronger. We're doing a lot of joint work with Microsoft in the verticals again, and in certain geographies within those verticals. We've committed to a further rollout of Azure. It is our de facto cloud platform. We are adopting more Microsoft geographies of Azure, so we're in all the key geographies now. We launched recently in Australia, we're now in Canada, North America, and we've got good coverage in Europe. We've also launched in the UK, the Azure Centre, in preparation for anything we might need if European companies and UK companies decide they want to keep their data separate at some point in the future when Brexit happens. We continue to strengthen that relationship. The other thing we're seeing from Microsoft is a growing commitment from them. We're a significant ISV on the platform. We're seeing a growing commitment from Microsoft to help us to succeed in our chosen markets. And I think that's very pleasing to see as well.
Dynamics has their own professional services offering. So do you compete with them directly, or how does that work?
Occasionally there's some confusion, but actually, no, we don't compete. So what's available on the Dynamics platform is called project services. And what we're building is professional services automation. We've taken it to a greater extent. We've completed the circle right the way from opportunity through project and right the way through to invoicing and cash in a single process. Our approach is different to Microsoft's, and they're actually supporting us in quite a number of deals currently.
This week you've heard an announcement around you're opening up the platform to create micro-applications with your extension kit. But you've made the decision to use other people's marketplaces like the Microsoft marketplace. Why are you not creating our own marketplace?
What we're trying to do is play to what we think our strengths are. We don't have a team that have built marketplaces. The way we looked at it was to say, if we provide technology that allows our customers, our partners, third parties to build extensions, applications, and as you've heard today, we've already got people doing that, why not use marketplaces that exist already? So if somebody chooses to use Azure services, you can find Unit4's applications in the Microsoft App Store. Why not find the extensions to it in there as well? The day we think we can build a better App Store than Microsoft, well, maybe we'll have a go at it, but I can't see that day just yet. The important thing is that we've opened the platform up as far as we can so far, and we'll carry on pushing the boundaries of that. The idea is that it will allow us to build into not just our verticals, but our concept now is taking that to the next stage of what we've called micro verticals. Now, some of those micro verticals are particularly large in their own right, but you mentioned PSA Suite on Dynamics. One of the spaces that we've built into a smaller vertical than professional services is into the accountancy space, actually dealing with specific accountancy challenges that our customers have told us they've got. And what I've seen from that is that that makes us very powerful when we are introducing our solutions to people, because we have a real understanding of their business and we can show them their business operating in our software. The more we can do of that, the more it validates the vertical strategy. Unit 4 wants to be an expert in vertical markets, not just a generic player.
One of the things obviously I heard a lot about today is digital transformation, XaaS. We've got the software to do it, but actually it's a bit more complex than that, isn't it? How should companies approach it, though? Because it's great talking about it, and actually it's very much a buzzword. Most vendors are talking about servitization, the services economy.
That's a really good starting point. We've got the software to do it, so there you are. And hopefully what you heard in that last session is that what we've done is we've re-engineered the way Unit 4 works, so it doesn't think about the traditional here's a product or a subscription that you buy and here's a service to implement it and here's a service to support it. We've started to really push the view that we don't actually sell products anymore. What we sell is a combination. It's a bill of materials that contains product, it contains services, it contains support, it contains the cloud, but a customer's buying that as a whole. So the first thing is, the products themselves don't drive digital transformation. It's a combination of everything you put in the bill of materials. But the other side to it is that a customer needs to think about the way that that changes and evolves and drives their business. Because the thing that often I think gets forgotten in the digital transformation is the people. How people are going to adapt and evolve. Otherwise, if you've got a crappy old manual system and you digitize it, well, it's a crappy digital system. You have to evolve your business with it. You've got to evolve your processes, and you've got to educate people, and you've got to give them chance to adopt new ways of working and new tools. And if you don't do that, then the digital transformation itself is something we'll talk about, but it won't achieve the benefits that you hope it will achieve.
In terms of your target customer, you can't just go and say, I'm going to buy Unit 4 software and transform my company. That's not going to happen. What should their approach be? Because I hear what you say about people, and yes, I agree, people are important to change. But is there an approach you think they can take? Is there a silver bullet to this?
We started to try and provide the silver bullet. So my job title is Chief Product Officer, but I think you have to think about it more now as like Chief Solution Officer or something like that. Because we are now packaging together products and what we call value accelerators and services and support services and offering the whole thing to customers as a service. You heard us maybe earlier on talking about the view that ultimately we think our customers will pay us in terms of a share in value we create. As I said earlier, I don't know when that day will come, but I think that method of thinking is all about us thinking about the value we're trying to deliver rather than a piece of software that we're trying to write. If our customers can think along those lines about the fact that we together are trying to create value in their business and how they adopt the bundles of products and services that we create our bill of materials out of, then together we can go and create that digital transformation. But it's not a question of us switching a service on and then something magical happening.
But it's also surely the fact that you don't just sell software anymore. It's not about just selling a product.
It's not about selling a piece of software. It's about creating a solution which generates value.
What I'm trying to get at, I suppose, is that when you're saying creating a solution, that's not a here's your solution, there you are, buy. Either.
Yes, that's precisely right. When we're thinking about creating the solutions, we start with what value do we think our customers are trying to get? If you look at a not-for-profit customer, it could be they are trying to do better with the funds they've got available to them. They're trying to run more projects more cost-effectively. And we have a series of KPIs that we use to try and judge that value. And we go and talk to the customers about it, and get their input on what value these different things create for them. And then we drive that back into software and a package of services and support that goes with it to help the customer get from where they are now to where they're trying to get to.
It comes back to that value proposition, which is kind of an interesting thing. The thing about what you're looking at is great. You can say, right, day one, we will implement the software. We'll improve these processes. You will see significant increase in these KPIs. That will bring value to your business. You will increase your revenue line, decrease your costs and increase your profits. And therefore we'll take a profit share out of that. Year two, that becomes a lot tougher.
Yes, that's why these relationships, the everything as a service, I know you don't like the term, but that whole service type relationship is about creating a relationship that evolves over time. I mean, that's one of the reasons you have Bravida on the stage. I mean, they've been a customer for 10 years and we've evolved with them through different life cycles of their business. In order to keep doing that, we have to keep evolving side by side.
So how does that change your approach to selling and account management?
It changes it in terms of us looking to build those long-term relationships. I mean, Stefan talked about it this morning in terms of customer success. It's about measuring the success we're making with customers. One of the challenges that you have in a business like Unit 4, which has evolved over time, is new customers have bought a package of products and services.
Sold to by hunters often.
Could be. But customers that bought 5 to 10 years ago sometimes are stuck in the relationship that they've had back then because they've not had the chance to evolve. One of our challenges and one of the things we're working on at the moment is how do we make sure that those customers, we can get them and help them to evolve with us where it's appropriate for them. Because today, the relationship you create with a new customer is all around it being a subscription-based relationship, so it's an ongoing, living thing. Whereas if you sold a customer a license many years ago, that relationship can be a little bit staler, and we have to move with those customers forwards.
Does that evolve your sales teams, though, in terms of the type of people you need to recruit, train, and retain? Because you look around the market, I probably know more telecom salespeople than anything, but it's very similar in the ERP space in terms of there's a huge amount of churn often around companies on that. That's got to change, surely, if you're going to keep the longevity of relationship going to a certain extent.
If you look at Unit 4, what you see is there is that longevity of relationship of employees. Later in May, I will complete 10,000 days of continuous employment by Unit 4 or one of its subsidiaries or business that it acquired. Unit 4 is one of those places that you can evolve your career and our customers evolve as well. That's one of the things that's really positive about being part of it.
Thank you very much, Jeremy.
Great stuff.